Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the Coach's Headset.
Hey, everybody. Another edition of Inside the Coach's Headset is coming at you right now. We're brought to you by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079 or go see him at 425 East Broad Street right here in Cookeville. You're listening to us on UCSportsNation.com, your one-stop shop for all high school sports in the Upper Cumberland. And we've got another great guest here on the show today, Kevin Bray. He's the former head coach of the Cookeville High School Cavaliers on the basketball side, now assisting at Jackson County. But really wanted to have Coach Bray on here to kind of talk about his time in the basketball coaching area and just kind of get his thoughts and ideas about what basketball is here in the Upper Cumberland. So, Coach Bray, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I thought everybody had forgotten me anyway.
No, we hadn't forgotten you at all. Not at all. So, you know, just to kind of start out, just for those who, you know, might recognize you just by, you know, facial recognition or something like that, just being, you know, the head coach at Cookeville for so long and everything, why don't you talk to us a little bit about yourself and how you got into coaching to begin with?
Well, of course, that's a long time ago now, but I tell my students stories over here every once in a while. They had never been a teacher or coach in my family tree, and I knew by the time I was in the 10th grade that I wanted to be a coach and a teacher, and so it just kept going from there, and that's all I've always wanted to do, and that's what I've always done.
That's pretty cool. I know, obviously, you've been at Cookeville. Where are some of the other places that you've been a coach at?
Well, Jackson County. I was at Cookeville. I mean, I was at Jackson County 20 and 21 years ago. I was there 2 years. And before that, I was at Lincoln County for 1 year. After I left Tech, I was at Tennessee Tech for 10 years, from 89 to 98. And before I went to Tech, I was at Cumberland County and Jackson County. So Jackson County is where I'm from. That's where I grew up. That's where I played.
Well, and, you know, that amount of time in and around the Upper Cumberland and seeing a lot of basketball over that time and being in the college ranks as well, in your estimation, what is one of the biggest things that's really changed within the game from the time that you've started to today?
Well, we could probably talk about this for a while, but there's just a lot more entitlement by the players, entitlement by the parents. You can't coach as hard now as you could 20 years ago. It's just totally different, you know, type of situation today. And, you know, that don't make for better players, or that don't make for better teams, or it don't make for better competition. But, I mean, you know, there's still some players out there that love it, that play hard, that will do anything you ask them. But there's a lot more out there today that's not that way than there used to be.
And I think that's probably because, you know, the social media, cell phones in everybody's pockets and things of that nature, you know, just the mentality of everything in the world today has kind of gotten a little bit geared more towards more, I don't want to call it selfish, but in some cases, the way things kind of shape up here now in terms of all kinds of different social media platforms and the allowances of those types of things inside the schools, wouldn't you agree that sometimes that's a little bit hard of a barrier to get through when you're trying to coach a kid and try to motivate them?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And with the involvement of, AAU-type teams, all the weekend tournaments and, teams, being coached by, a lot of people who don't know the game very well. And, the players get in bad habits, don't play as hard, in the spring and summer, that's what most of them do mm-hmm. nowadays in the off season. And, in the younger ages, 4th, 5th, 6th grade, I think it's good for them, to get court time, to get playing time. But, if they're good enough to be a varsity player, especially in, a starter or in the rotation on a high school team, there's not many AAU type teams around here that will make them better.
Right. And I guess, just the advent of the game itself and the changes of the game, you see a whole lot more outside shooting. You don't see a lot of some of the old motion plays and things like that where you're trying to drive the ball down low, high percentage shots, things like that. More and more kids, and I see it even from the younger kids, they're trying to hit the ball from the parking lot rather than 2 foot under the goal and off the glass, something yeah. like that. When do you think that mentality or that strategic type of gameplay changed, particularly in this area?
Well, I don't know. I'll say somewhere around the 2000s, ESPN came on, started on in the 80s. And you get, on ESPN, about all you get are dunks or three-pointers and that type of thing. And that's just what kids grew up watching. And now with the three-point line, three-point line didn't come into 87, 88 in high school. And, since everybody's got used to it, there are a lot of teams out there now that will shoot more threes in a game than they do twos in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the best for some teams, but for some teams that do it, it's not the best. And, that's just the way it's going. You watch college games that are that way. So the game has changed a lot since I've been around.
We're talking with former head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers basketball team, Kevin Bray, who's now assisting at Jackson County. Coach, while we're talking about game changes and how the game has evolved and everything, what is your opinion of a shot clock in high school basketball?
Well,
here's the reason why I asked that question. I've seen many, many, many Sparta versus Cookeville basketball games and picked up on some of your strategy when you're trying to protect the lead as other teams. Cookeville in your coaching style is not unique in this way. There's a a keep away game, I guess is probably the best way to put it in layman's terms of what's going on, in that you're trying to protect a lead. It's understandable. It's a strategy of the game because it's allowed. 5 second counts aren't, you know, as long as you're getting rid of those, getting rid of the ball, you know, before a 5 second count by the ref is done. You can play that type of style, but in the long term type of scenario, do you think that is a good thing for the game, or should a shot clock be brought into high school basketball?
Well, I have never really been a adversary of a shot clock, but not really for those reasons. You know, it's hard enough getting a bookkeeper and a clock keeper and a PA guy. And, you know, if you got a shot clock, you know, the person running the shot clock would probably have a harder job than any of those other three. And, you know, it would just be another person that you'd have to get. And, you know, another person you'd have to pay to work. And, you know, since I don't know, the 90s, maybe the 2000s, just generally speaking, since they invented all the technology and stuff, you know, crowds for basketball games at the college level and the high school level both are not as big as they used to be. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as the game goes, it wouldn't matter with me either way. You know, the team I'm having coached this year, I don't think we've had the ball. If we had a 24-second clock, it wouldn't have been a problem. you know, we're not a good ball handling team, and you know, it's just better for us to try to get a good shot as quick as we can before we throw it away. So you know, it really just depends, you know, what type of team you have, or how good of ball handlers you have, and how many ball handlers you have, and so like I said, as far as the game itself, how it would affect the game, it wouldn't be much of an impact on me. I mean, I could coach either way.
Sure.
But like I say, just generally speaking, around the 400, 500, whatever high schools in Tennessee, you know, that's 400 or 500 people. Well, 250 people, I guess, that, you know, you'd have to get to run a shot clock. And, mm-hmm. and that would be a pretty hard job.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. You know, you being, you know, at Cookeville for so long, Cookeville obviously being kind of the hub of the Upper Cumberland region, certainly the largest high school that is around in the Upper Cumberland, and one of the largest high schools in the state of Tennessee. I don't think people really realize that, but
fourth
largest in the state. I was fixing to say that a lot of people don't realize how big Cookeville High School really is in terms of student population. But with all that being said, you're the head. You know, you were the head coach of, you know, one of the most prominent and supported programs in that high school. You know, football and basketball, as it is in any high school, is usually 1 and 1A or 1 and 2 as far as support and fan attendance and everything else. Did you feel like every time that you know, obviously in the district games, but just in any game that you hosted or was a part of, did you feel like because it was Cookeville that you guys had a little bit bigger target on your back than what most other schools did?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially when we played a double A school or a single A school, I felt that way. And, you know, I'm coaching in single A district right now, and there are a lot of good teams in the single A district, and they have been through the years. But I think this is one of the up years for that district this year. But, you know, even AAA teams in our district, you know, Stone, Cumberland County for a long time, you know, Sparta a little more, but, you know, they're almost half our size.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, it, the kind of athlete that we have here at Cookeville is you know, pretty much the same as all the other schools. I mean, I've been here 19 years, and around the Upper Cumberland, you know, there's been several Division One basketball players signed. Well, I've never had a college coach call me, send me a letter, talk to one of my players, come to see one of my players, anything. So, you know, as far as having the better athletes here at Cookeville High School, we haven't had that most of the time.
And coming, you know, growing up in Gainesburg, going to Jackson County High School, you know, and coaching there and being back there now, tell us a little bit about Jackson County and what draws you to head back there from coming from Cookeville. And just, you know, Gainesburg is a beautiful area. I don't think anybody could dispute that or argue with that. But, you know, just the community as a whole, the support there, what makes Jackson County and Jackson County High School special?
Well, I mean, Jackson County High School, boys and girls basketball, the last 5 years has really went down. The two coaches there, Jim Brown for the girls and Kevin Thomas for the boys, I coached both of them there in the late 80s, and you know, have a really good relationship with them, and that's been good. And they were really good players, and we had a really good team. We got beat by Chattanooga City in the sub-state game down there their senior year with, nobody will remember this name now, Orlando Lightfoot. You know, back, well, if it was today, he would be a five-star. Mm-hmm. You know, he was one of the top 10 players in the country. And, I mean, like I say, it's went down. I mean, before I played, you know, my brother was 6 years older than me, and I had several cousins that were older than me. You know, they were 6'4", 6'5", you know, been tight ends or defensive ends or, you know, whatever on the football team. I mean, they, you know, they're just big and strong and, down there at that time, when Kermit Forkum was coaching, you know, all you were going to play if you were, you know, a good athlete was basketball. He wouldn't let you play anything else. And I've said that oftentimes, not as much about myself. I'm not as tall or as good an athlete as the guys I'm talking about, but I have said all my life that, and my brother and my cousins, if they'd have went anywhere else, if they'd have wound up at a, you know, a Power Five football program in college, playing college football instead of college basketball. But, you know, back then in the 60s and 70s, Jackson County really had a lot of good athletes, a lot of good size, a lot of good athletes, and we had really good teams. And they haven't really been like that in a long time. You know, most people, when they grow up in Jackson County, you know, they leave and don't ever go back. So anyway, but you know, it's where I lived my first 18 years, and you know, well, and the only reason I'm down there this year, you know, I got let go up here at Cookeville the last day of school last spring. And, you know, I already had my summer worked out as far as practice days and camp days and, you know, all that for the whole summer. And then the last day of school, all that went away. And it made for a very hard summer for me. You know, I didn't have anything to do. And that late, all the basketball jobs were already filled. Mm-hmm. And now since school has started back, and I didn't think about this part till school started, but, you know, it's just awkward. It's just an awkward situation, me being here. It's an awkward situation with the players and with the coaches that are coaching now. And, anyway, you know, high school basketball season will be over in a few weeks, and we'll see what opens up and so forth. I have no idea where I'll be next year.
Well, what a couple things. What really drives you? You know, as far as being a high school basketball coach. I mean, I know you said from really early on in your younger days, you had already wanted and was working towards being a coach in that. But what fuels your fire now as far as wanting to continue down that path?
Well, and, you know, I've probably lost some of that. But, you know, it's just I remember when I was growing up, that I was thinking that I want to coach at Jackson County High, I want to coach at Cookeville High, I want to coach at Tennessee Tech, and I want to coach at University of Tennessee. Now, how I come up with those four, that was just the four I was the most familiar with, mm-hmm. You know. But, you know, at the same time, I done three out of the four. Obviously, I never got close to the University of Tennessee. But, you know, it's just pretty much all I do now. You know, I used to be the golf coach, and I played a lot of golf, and, you know, I used to hunt and fish, and you know, I don't do so much of that anymore. I just like to teach, and I like to see players improve, and, you know, and players, if they are coachable players, should be just an extension of you on the floor. You know, now, not all players are real coachable, but, it, you know, if they are coachable and they're going to do what you ask of them, they're going to show the coach's personality on the floor. And, you know, yeah, like I say, you don't see as much of that anymore.
I agree with that. And watching you and your teams there at Cookeville over the years, you know, I'll be honest with you, Coach. There's sometimes you'd roll some kids out there on the floor when, you know, in pregame, you know, going through the warmups, and I'm thinking, well, Cookeville don't have anything this year. And when the game starts, these kids, and I'm not going to name any names because they proved me wrong out on the floor. So I'm the one that's wrong, not them. But, you know, me just looking at them, and they don't look like a prototypical basketball player. They didn't have the build for it. They didn't have the frame. They didn't have, you know, the shot as far as their shooting style and things like that. But when the ball goes up and you know, the game starts, their heart, their work ethic as far as just putting the effort that they were putting into the game, all that, it was, you know, it was eye-opening. And suddenly you thought, okay, Cobell does have something this year. So, you know, how do you obviously the, some of these kids, they you know, they didn't have the God-given talents or the frame or the body for this game, but you were able to kind of figure that out to bring some of that out of them. How do you, you know, how do you find that, or how do you see that in a kid that, hey, this kid's coachable versus some kid who might be a little bit more difficult?
Well, I mean, it takes a long time. I mean, you got to get to know them. You got to get to know them, first of all. And as the way I've said it, especially to my coaches through the years, you got to make a lot of deposits with kids. You've got to earn their trust before you can start making withdrawals. And, you know, of getting them to play together, getting them to play hard and play together. I mean, you know, when we played Bradley Centrals and Murfreesboro's and Cleveland and, you know, people like that, I mean, that's the only shot we got of beating them, because we're not as athletic most of the time as any of those types of schools. And, but I appreciate you saying that. I mean, I've had a lot of great players to coach. And they made each other better, and it was a good run here at Cogwell. You know, you mentioned the shot clock a few minutes ago. You know, my last 2 or 3 years, my last 2 years especially, you know, we had 4 guards on the floor and then a 6'1" or 6'2" inside guy who shot our second most threes on our team. In other words, we had a good ball handling team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get a lead in the fourth quarter or, you know, whatever. And, you know, especially when the other team was bigger than us or whatever, you know, it was just a better chance for us to win the game if we kept the ball and we didn't have to guard them. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't think it was so much the players that had a problem with it, but the parents had a problem with it. You know, instead of scoring 70 points a game, we were scoring 50 or 55 or whatever points a game. And, you know, their kids wasn't scoring as many points. But you know, we played to win, and we done what we thought gave us our best chance to win.
Sure, and the team wins, not the individual when it comes to basketball. There's 5 on the floor for a reason. So, Coach, I want to thank you. I know that some of the stuff that we talked about today probably was hard and a little awkward for you, and I appreciate your candidness and your openness to talk about it and come on here. Really, really appreciate it. I for one, very much respect you and what you've been able to do at Cookeville. I've had daughters, and I was a spectator, and the closest I got to being a parent of someone on a basketball floor was one of my daughters was a cheerleader, and that was the reason why I was there. But I always very much respected you, and I know that there's other coaches out there in the Upper Cumberland area that respect you as well, and really appreciate you coming on, and good luck to you. And I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to be a head coach someday in another school. So thank you very much for coming on with us.
Well, I appreciate you saying those kind words, and it was my pleasure.
You've been listening to Inside the Coach's Headset right here on UCSportsNation.com. I'm your host, Amos Rogan. Thanks so much for listening. We've been brought to you by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079 or go see him at 425 East Broad Street right here in Cookeville. And, hey, don't forget, we do have a Facebook group page. We're now on social media. Just search for Inside the Coach's Headset Podcast. Join it, and we will be asking you guys for feedback and everything about how you think we're doing. Share the podcast and let everybody know how we're doing. We got some great feedback that you guys are actually liking what we're doing here, so that's also always a good thing to hear. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the Coach's Headset.